Okay, I call to order the work session of April 10th, the Westlake City School Board. Roll call, please.
Lozinski.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Fanouken.
Here.
Stoll.
Here.
Winter.
Here.
Let's stand for the pledge, please.
They can't hear you, so.
Okay, pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I welcome all of you this evening. It's good to see you here. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Kraft.
Yes.
Stoll.
Yes.
Fanouken.
Yes.
Lozinski.
Yes.
Winter.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Bear with me because I don't have my paper copy. I'm doing it all electronically.
All right.
So this is the first, yes. Do I on paper too much? At this time, we have a hearing of the public for anything that is an agenda item. So if anybody wishes to step forward and state your name and address. No one? Okay. We will now go into our board committee reports, and I have nothing for legislation today. So that moves us to student achievement. Dr. Stoll?
I have nothing at this time.
Policy? Jeff? Okay. Finance?
So we are going to be meeting. I know that you had said the policy subcommittee will be there. There's some new.
There are some things that we have to go through.
So we'll probably end of April, beginning of May.
When we get back from break.
Okay, perfect. So we'll set that meeting.
Carol is very anxious.
Okay.
I can't wait to talk about policy.
It's fun.
Finance.
On March 22nd, the Finance Committee held a public meeting with Treasurer Todd Hopkins that included board members John Fanouken and Joe Kraft, Superintendent Goggin, Directors Dave Kosovar and Pete Segray joined as well. The discussions included budget for the funds received from the new permanent improvement tax. It also included the tax rate resolution, which was voted on by the board on the following meeting on March the 27th. Board policy with regard to employee reimbursement, the Sturbridge Square payment in lieu of taxes voted on by the board on March the 27th, payroll software voted on by the board on March the 27th, financial reporting including possible combination reporting with the city. After all, we are somewhat unique in that the city and the school's constituents are the same. In comparison with surrounding areas, that's not necessarily the case. The meeting was helpful and it was informative, and thank Mr. Hopkins for his customary detailed and informative presentation.
Thank you.
You bet.
Curriculum.
I have a report. We have not met yet, but I anticipate we'll meet before the end of the year. But just based on the director report from Mrs. Maxwell, we've got word as a board that we have a new holistic method that we're going to be using as a school district for our math placement for acceleration. And it makes use of really 5 different data points, which is real important instead of just basing it all on a grade or just one standardized test. So I think that really it broadens and allows more opportunity for all of our kids. We do have a new health curriculum. I know Mrs. Maxwell did mention this at a previous board meeting, and that is called Brain Power. And our health and PE teachers receive training tomorrow on that curriculum. So that's going to be instituted K-12. And I do know that we received, and then I ran into the woman who markets the program at Dave Greenspan's roundtable on the opioid crisis, and did we all receive these? Maybe I just did. I'll pass these around to the board. This just is a piece of the information. This really is an education piece just about drug awareness kind of thing. So I'll start with Bob and then we can pass that around. And State testing, as we've said numerous times, state testing is going on. This is the first year that we are 100% online with our testing. I believe our district is very well prepared for that. We have Chromebook cards. We actually purchased some Chromebook cards at the beginning of the year to help accommodate that. I see Pete is there smiling, and I'm sure you wish we had more because the demand is really high, and it's very tricky because you have multiple grade levels using these and needing to access them. So I know that that's something that'll be talked about with our PI monies. And then our English language arts adoption is coming to a close, and we should have a recommendation by the end of the school year for that. So,
good.
And there ends my report.
Thank you, Karen. And community outreach.
Community outreach. Autism, April is Autism Awareness Month. There are a number of activities going on in each of our schools. Superintendent Goggin, the district seems to have found and implemented the right plan for autism. Our district continues to find the strengths of our students and build on those strengths to build a strong student. This plan also involves nurturing a community of acceptance. Our community continues to embrace each student's uniqueness. The board looks forward to continue to work with you to continue to enhance your plan. The board has witnessed and in some cases participated in autism awareness events throughout the district. In particular, a thank you to Tabitha Devine and also Katie Applegate for their day-to-day efforts with our students. They also co-chair Strike It Big, which is a local event on April the 23rd at Buckeye Lanes. The event provides a fun event for those on the spectrum, as well as those who support them. It also supports a local nonprofit, which is Milestones Autism Resources, which educates through its annual conferences and also connects with professionals and coaches those that help those on the spectrum. There's a notice by the board that the April 2nd Plain Dealer reported that over 500 Ohio law enforcement agencies have implemented or started to adopt statewide standards for things like use of force, deadly force, and also hiring officers, making Ohio a national leader in community police relations, improving relationships between police departments and communities they serve. Not surprisingly, Westlake is one of the departments embracing the statewide standards. Westlake City Schools enjoys its relationship with Westlake Police Department, especially our relationship with our resource officer, Forkamp, and we thank you for your partnership.
Okay. Now we come to the most exciting part of the evening. Mr. Hopkins.
Yeah, before you tonight, you've got two resolutions that are under board-initiated actions. The first one is for the exchange of properties with the city of Westlake. As you are aware in the communications that we've had, we have worked with the city, and I appreciate seeing the mayor here tonight and one of the council members, Ms. Apple, as well. And the city council approved this exchange agreement last Thursday. It's now the opportunity for the board to approve it. And what this does is the language itself is allowing the superintendent, treasurer, and then the president or vice president to enter into the formal agreement. So assuming the board would approve the deal tonight, we will move forward with doing an actual closing and exchanging of the properties. Currently, our attorney has contacted the title company and has asked to do a title search on that. And I know, you know, Scott will talk more about it, the exchange as well, but I'm going to skip forward to the lease because the second piece of it is the lease agreement. As part of the exchange agreement, we do have Parkside, the school that we're in tonight, in the exchange with the city, giving the title of Parkside to the city of Westlake. As part of the deal, we not only have the option to buy back Parkside in the future, but over the next up to 10 years, we're able to lease the property for $10, for $1 per year over that time period. There are some stipulations. If we no longer use it for a school facility or administrative facility, it would revert back to the city, but the lease does lay out the rules for both sides, just like any lease would. I will point out the lease agreement. Essentially, we will act as the owners for as long as we utilize the property. So, you know, we are responsible, you'll see in the lease agreement, we're responsible for any maintenance or repairs, things of that nature. And at the end of the lease, however long it ends up being, up to that 10-year period, if we choose not to buy back the property, we are responsible for turning it back, giving it back to the city in a condition that is similar to as it is right now, less normal wear and tear. So, you know, those are the two big pieces under the board items tonight. And I'm going to let Scott talk a little bit about the exchange as well.
Sure. The exchange from, I will speak from my perspective, is broken up into two categories. The property valuation for the Center Ridge property was $2.6 million. And when you look at the property valuation of Bradley Road at $1.4 million and the Board of Education building at $1.2 million, that's $2.6 million. Then when you look at the property valuation, that one's easy. That we joke and say that's kind of like the Monopoly game where, you know, you take the values of these two and the values of this one and you swap them. Well, the part that I think people get a little confused about is the Parkside part. Parkside, when you look at the valuation, they say if someone was to come and purchase this and operate it as a school tomorrow, it's worth $1.8 million. The issue is people aren't going out and buying these buildings for $1.8 million to move into. What they're doing is when you go to public auction, and that's what we would have to do as a school district, when you go to public auction, people are buying this, developers are buying this. When you see some of the nice townhomes next to us, what they would like to do is purchase this and put more of those in. And so when we talked about the value of Parkside, we really weren't focusing on the $1.8 million because it's not realistic to sell it at that. We looked at the $1.1 million where the land only value. And the other factor that we look at here is the fact that you have to take the building down. So if you want to build on here, you have to spend $400,000 taking this building down. So that's how we got to the $700,000 mark that actually both sides use, to where the city uses for their credit and the school district uses as their buyback. So it's the same. It's not like one entity is getting, you know, paying this much and the other one's paying that much. It's the same on both sides. In exchange, the city is reducing our permit fees for the project, as well as committing to some infrastructure work, traffic light and road work out in front. One of the reasons that we really focused on that and wanted to do an offset is both the city and the schools, as we sat down, both understood the traffic concerns that the people in the community would have. And that was a focus of both sides, to make sure that we do everything we can to ensure that traffic remains going as smoothly as possible there. So we really appreciate that commitment from the city to be flexible and to be able to put together a deal that I've heard the mayor describe it like this, as the win-win-win. You know, the win for the city, a win for the schools, and a win for the community. It's really, and I know, and I'll then talk about what Mr. Hopkins has said, is that, you know, as we were sitting at the table, really trying to talk about what's best for the whole community, please understand the properties that we are talking about are all owned by Westlake taxpayers. So whether the city owns it or the schools own it, the Westlake taxpayers still own this property. Now, we do stay financially responsible to each of our organizations, but, you know, we aren't exchanging hands and sending properties to private developers or anybody outside of Westlake. So we're really excited that we're able to build our new elementary campus next to the library. And we're really excited for the city with the flexibility that the land that they're acquiring gives them as they go into their planning and their potential initiative in November. It gives them really the flexibility to open their minds and do some really neat things for the community. I want to speak directly to obtaining the Center Ridge property. Something that we want to make clear to the board, you know, the property is not without its challenges. When you drive by there, You'll notice that there is fill on there, approximately about 5 to 6 feet high. Getting down to rock from our core samples will take us 20 feet of drilling. We are going to do a caisson-style construction where we'll put concrete caissons down to the rock and set steel beams on top of that. It's costly. It's something that up front is, you know, going into it, we know that just that is going to be about $750,000. Now, the other side is, when you look at Parkside, we know taking down this building is about $400,000. So we know that there's costs associated with both sites. This site, I believe, we hit rock about 6 feet down, which is good in some ways, but sometimes, but on this site, we'd have to do underground retention, which having rock 6 foot down causes another problem, to where how are you going to dig through it? So in weighing both sites, short term, there are going to be some headaches, no doubt, as we go through. There are unknowns as we start to dig. We think we know a lot that's under there, but you never know what's completely underground until you get underground. And however, we had a meeting with our team, with our construction managers, our architect, myself, Mr. Finucane, Mr. Hopkins, as well as other internal people, and we put all the different pros and cons on the table. And with that team, it was unanimous where Center Ridge is the site that would be best for this project. I guess the reason I bring those things up is so we go in with eyes wide open, knowing that this is a fantastic site for us. So the location couldn't be any better. You can't get more center of Westlake than where we have the high school, the Dover campus, and then this elementary campus. It is as centralized as you can be. The lot size is fantastic. The access will have two entrances and exits on Center Ridge, one out on Westtown. It'll have a great traffic flow in there. So there's a lot of positives to it, but it's not without negatives. So just making sure everybody knew everything about it. Myself, Dave Kosovar, John Finucane, Todd Hopkins, along with the mayor and the city team, very proud to have worked on this project with them. Very excited about what this will bring, not only our school district, but the Westlake community as well. So any questions, I'd be happy to take them. You know what, I don't know if you'd like to chime in a little bit as well.
Put your two cents.
I mean, you came. We definitely want to hear from you.
I don't think I need this, right?
No,
I think my point of being here is to basically say thank you to each and every one of you for working with us to come up with a plan that works for the entire community. We're serving this community. That's the most important thing that we can concern ourselves with. But then the plus is that it's great for the schools, and as I keep saying, it is a win-win-win. It's great for the city, it's great for the schools, it's great for the community. But it did take a lot of effort, a lot of work, and I appreciate the input and the dedication and the efforts that were put in by each and every one of you that have been involved in this. I think we should be excited as a community, and I think we should all be excited that we've come together and shown that we work together on a regular basis. I know sometimes people don't think we do, but we always have. Is that certain things don't always come out the way people want them to come out. But this one has. Mm-hmm. So we're very appreciative of it, and thank you very much.
And likewise, we appreciate the effort that you and your team have put forth on this too. So it worked out well. Okay, so we take them.
Yeah, if we'd take them separately, I would appreciate that. Yep.
Okay. Is there a motion for the resolution to approve the exchange agreement between this board and the City of Westlake, Ohio?
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion?
I just would like to say thank you to all the parties. I know this was a multi-year process that really spanned two administrations here. So I also want to thank, in their absence, Jeff Palmer and Mark Papera, who really did a lot to get the ball rolling on this. But thank you all, thank you Scott, thank you Todd, thank you for being our board representative, John, and Mayor Clough, and we really appreciate you really wanting to work and continue to really exhaust the conversation until we had
you know, some sort of an agreement. We were able to come up with a very good agreement for our community. So thank you. Anyone else? Roll call, please.
Winter?
Yes.
Fanukin?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, is there a motion for the resolution authorizing the execution of a lease with option to purchase between the Board of Education and the City of Westlake, Ohio?
So moved.
Second? Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Stoll?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Fanukin?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
It's not often we get applause for something, so that's good.
Everybody, those little party poppers.
But it is a win-win-win.
You didn't plan for that?
Win-win.
I really should. I would have thought I would.
Well, I thought you would.
I will use those emojis the next time.
Thank you for that.
I will do that.
Okay, at this time we have our treasurer's recommendations.
I do have before the board tonight one issue I'd like the board to consider is, and I'm asking to approve it here at the meeting tonight in lieu of the regular meeting, just of the timeliness of trying to get the first bus ordered. But this is a resolution to allow us to participate in the Ohio Schools Council bus purchase program. As the board is fully aware, anything over $25,000, we have to go through a bid process. In order to avoid the bid process, we're able to participate in cooperative purchasing. And Ohio Schools Council does that. They go out and bid the price of the buses, and we purchase it through cooperative pricing. So this would allow us to make an initial purchase of one bus that you see in the resolution there. I think it's a 78-passenger bus. And then we would also be looking before the end of the summer, so for the beginning of next school year, to purchase an additional or lease an additional 10 buses. You know, we have a aging fleet, and I know Mr. Kosovar wanted to be here tonight, but he is out of the office today. And he would certainly tell you that, you know, our fleet has some age on it, and we're trying to keep it up as much as possible, and the staff at Transportation do an excellent job doing that, but there's only so much you can do, you know, with the buses. As over the past several years, the board or the district has opted not to purchase new buses, or when we have purchased buses, they've been used buses. So this would get us back on a cycle, and this is for the lease would be using PI money. The initial purchase, the one bus, would be through general fund dollars that were set aside for a bus purchase. So it's not, it will not affect our forecast or our finances, as we've already set aside the initial money last fiscal year for the initial bus purchase. The additional 10 would be coming out of PI, and as Mr. Kraft had mentioned earlier, one of the discussions we had at our finance committee meeting was setting up that budget for PI. So Mr. Kosovar and Mr. Zagre met with the finance committee and detailed out what their vision for PI is that's really the two areas that you're going to see it affecting most, your buildings and grounds and your technology. So again, this is for Ohio Schools Council. On the lease side of it, we're currently going out looking for some financing options, wanting to make sure that we would get the best rate on doing a lease purchase option for those buses. But I would ask the board to consider it tonight.
How excited is Mr. Kosovar that he's getting a new bus?
Well, actually, Mr. Kosovar's not here, but Sandy is.
Yeah, that's
do we need any new buses?
We do need new buses.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah, yesterday.
Actually, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
When Carol and when we were down at OSBA, and this is probably not the right time to say this,
but, we'll find out
in November for the board conference, we went into the trade show, and I think who told us that he hopped on the bus. They had a new bus there in the hall, and he was on it, examining it, and ordered 10 of them, and we're like, oh, no. Oh my! But he was pretty excited. So this is a good day.
Kid in a candy shop.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Okay, is there a motion to approve the authorization to purchase from school bus bids received by the Ohio Schools Council.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion or questions?
I did have a question. Now, we haven't in the past leased buses, have we?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And I know the Finance Committee heard more details about that. Could we get a copy of whatever report Pete Zagre and Dave Kosovar put out?
Absolutely.
Just to, was it something special for the Finance Committee?
It was a spreadsheet.
It was, that would be helpful, just to have for my files, so.
Absolutely.
And what was the reasoning for leasing as opposed to purchasing?
At the cost of, you know, you're looking here at roughly $75,000 a piece. To make the initial purchase of 10 of them at $750,000 would eat up the vast majority of our PI budget and would not allow us to do other projects. So by doing lease with a reasonable rate, we're able to spread it out over just a 6-year lease we're looking at.
Okay.
It's different than your car per se. These are all, and according to law, they're all, you know, lease purchase agreements.
Okay.
So it's not at the end of the 6 years, you turn them back in and you're left with nothing, or you, you know, or you re-up for another lease. No, this is actually, you're just spreading out the payments.
Okay.
Through a lease program that allows us to buy the buses over a 6-year period.
Okay. And so then once we have them purchased, great, that's wonderful. Then we'd be able to go back to our 4 buses a year. Is that what?
Well, yeah, correct. We would be looking at, this would be an initial to get rid of, you know, and I don't mean any of it offensively to transportation, but there's a number of buses that really need a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And this would be that initial purchase to get rid of the buses that are
the
in
worst,
the worst shape.
Okay.
We would still maintain, as part of their plan for PI, approximately 4 buses per year and keeping that cycle. By leasing these initial 10, it allows us to replace the worst now.
Okay.
And then start the cycle, not with next year, but the following year. So it'd be fiscal year 19 for us as we start the cycle of 4 buses
okay.
per year.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very good. And then what happens to the old buses? Are we able to sell them?
We'll look in to see what's the best option for it. We'll either sell it, trade it in, because they do offer trade-ins on them, or in some cases, scrap them if need be.
Okay. You know, there might be some family bands out there that want to purchase them.
Is the Winter family looking for a tour bus?
Oh, it takes me back to the 70s.
And I jokingly said to Mr. Hopkins that in the Memorial Day parade this year, I think we should have our new bus go down the street, because I can remember about 20 years or so watching the Memorial Day parade. The city either got a new garbage truck or a new fire truck or something, and it was in the parade, and it was like, oh, this is so Americana to have this the new garbage truck in the Memorial Day parade. So you might see our school bus. Okay, anyone else? Okay, roll call, please.
Finucane?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Yay.
This
is a happy
three
meeting.
Votes
all our lost. Meetings are like this.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and that brings us to board comments. I think I've made all my comments already.
I have as well.
Anyone?
No.
And as far as the spreadsheet that you're talking about, I just noticed the executive content. Is that the spreadsheet that was linked to us on the Google Docs?
No,
the
spreadsheet that was put together by...
Because that was just the buses and that was...
Correct, it's just the bus bid information.
Bus bid, okay.
Yeah. We'll get you the sheet that Dave and Pete had put together.
Perfect, thanks.
The last CAC meeting that was attended, Carol, was that you?
Yes.
Okay, super. Just at yesterday's Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast, having the opportunity to spend some time with a number of families. I know that CAC is working on our advisors and our counselors, and our families notice that, and they're thankful of that. And they're wanting to be a part of that, and of course they always are. And just as we continue to work on that, and ask to us to continue to work with our partners, some of our businesses, those entities in town, such as University Hospitals, the Cleveland Clinic, Highland Software, American Greetings, for opportunities for our students, and to communicate that through our advisors and our counselors as well. So a number of families knew that we were meeting today and wanted me to bring that up today.
Oh, that's great. And I'm going to just add a little to that, because I think I was saving this till the next meeting where there's a CAC report, but I might as well report on it now. And I know Mr. Goggin and I will talk about this as well. I was the board representative at the CAC meeting on last Monday, and they're moving along with their report to us. They'll be reporting to us at the final meeting in May. And they're looking at the guidance and counselor, they're looking at the program, and they're looking at really how our kids and families informed of their opportunities and the different paths that they can take at the high school, because we have now College Credit Plus, IB, AP, among many other programs. And so they had some discussion about that. They talked about the comprehensive school counseling plan that I know Mrs. Morgan and her team worked on. They had done some background work as well, looking at best practices around the country and around the state for guidance programs. And so they're going to be presenting that information as well as best practices they've seen to look at really providing the context for that K-12 implementation. The biggest piece of it is a survey that went out. Many of our families, our families at the high school received a survey by the CAC, and I believe this week is the final week that people can fill in their survey online. And it was just looking at just a benchmark of when did people find out about the different programs, and they had those survey results that they shared. So I'll share those with Mr. Goggin as well. That will be a big part of their presentation, and I know their hopes are that our leaders, our school leaders, will be able to use that to really further what our counselors are doing. I know Paul Wilson is already doing some, making some tweaks to the counseling program, and really trying to provide the counselors the support they need so that they can provide the support our students need. So it was a very, very good meeting. As of last Monday, they had 271 responses, student responses. They actually sat in during lunch hours and had kids fill out the surveys online. They used the Google Docs to make the survey. And then they had 216 parent responses, which is a really great percentage of our families. So it'll be good information for us. One of the things, as always, whenever I bring up the word CAC, the acronym CAC, is my plug for CAC members. This is the time of the year that the Citizens Advisory Committee is looking for new members. And I really think this is a unique committee, because it's not one of those that you can show up and just listen. It's a working committee. So I would encourage all of my board colleagues and our executive team and anybody in the audience to either consider joining if you're in the audience, because we really can't, but to also recruit people. If each of us were able to recruit two people to sit on that committee, I really believe we can get that committee to the numbers that we used to enjoy probably about a decade ago. I was going through my CAC notes just to give myself perspective and to be able to help. Some of the CAC members had reached out to me just about that. So we want to make sure that that's a very strong committee. That's the one committee that's set up by policy that is there to be a liaison between the community and the board. We have many opportunities for committee or for community members to reach out to board members individually, but this really, the topics that bubble up are the things that they bring from the community perspective, and it's not just parents, it's business leaders. Andrew Mangles is on the committee as a library leader, so I would encourage everybody to reach out to people, and there's information on the website about being a member. So that's my plug.
Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
Any other comments?
Bless you.
Okay, at this time,
We are going to adjourn to executive session, so is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
To adjourn to executive session at 6:36 p.m. Kraft?
Yes.
Fanukin?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. No action will be taken. All right.